This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. The Red Med Wars, Red Sea, Mediterranean Sea, Nile River Valley, the Horn of Africa. This is in play. Right now, I learned from Gregory that the European powers are either choosing sides or looking very closely at dealing with Egypt, the power of the region. But because there is a civil strife in Ethiopia, because Egypt and Sudan are in some league against Ethiopia, because we're also dealing with the Suez Canal and that critical junction between the Indo-Pacific and the Mediterranean, all of this has to be very carefully approached, and Gregory does in a recent article. Gregory, a very good evening to you. The Red Med Wars. Egypt is the driver. So let's speak first of Egypt. It's been an object of desire, at least since Napoleon, for the Europeans to dominate Cairo, Alexandria, and the Nile River Valley. What is the case now under President el-Sisi? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Egypt has been the real driver, if you like, of the Oriental romanticism of the intellectual classes that, and therefore the foreign ministries of the great European powers, historically, and of the United States. So there's this still this romantic attachment to Egypt, quite apart from the very, very significant reality that Egypt does control the nexus of Eurasia, if you like, and the Eurasian African link, and the Suez Canal, which cuts through it. So this is all part of the driving force of global trade through the Suez Canal, Red Sea, East Mediterranean. So there's this great desire for European powers and the United States, as there was with the Soviet Union, to somehow dominate and control Egypt, because if you could do that, you really controlled global trade, you controlled much of the Middle East, you controlled the influence, if you like, over the Middle East, because Egypt has a profound sociological leadership position in the Arabic-speaking world. But the reality today is that the government of President el-Sisi has moved decisively to reject any foreign dominance. After the government of President Mubarak was literally forced out of office and President Morsi pushed into office by the U.S. Obama administration deciding this is the way it was going to be, this so horrified a number of people in the Egyptian military, particularly General el-Sisi, that when he came into office as president, he said, no more of this, and he sort of stopped taking calls from the Obama White House. And since then, the Trump administration has tried to reassert, if you like, his influence over and friendship with Cairo. And Cairo likes to be friends with the United States, with France, with Britain, and the like, and with Russia. But it's not about to allow itself to be once again subordinated to foreign domination. And right now, what's happening is the reverse. By playing on the wishes of Washington, London, Paris, and Moscow and so on, to have influence in the area, Egypt is literally controlling the foreign powers. That's the ironic sort of turnabout. So Cairo is judiciously handing out defense contracts and other big contracts like nuclear reactor contracts and so on to Russia, France, Britain, and the United States. So they all slavishly do what Cairo wants. And what Cairo wants right now is for the world to support it in its claims that Ethiopia is denying it access to the waters of the Nile, the Blue Nile River. The reality is that Ethiopia is not in a position to deny them the water that's flowing. There's the new Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, which is slowly filling, but the reality is it's not diverting Nile waters from Egypt. There are differences in the flow of the water to the Nile, to the Aswan Dam, if you like, which Egypt controls. But the reality is that Egypt has been mismanaging its Nile water flow for many years, and particularly since 1956 or so, when they started work on building the Aswan High Dam with Soviet help, because that dam it has solved some problems but created a lot more problems. But if you're the president of Egypt and you're facing a country which is under great economic stress and security stress from people like the Muslim Brotherhood and their supporters in Turkey and the like, then you need to have a diversion of political interest from, you know, so you've got to say, look, we're being challenged on our control of and our rights to the Nile water, and that's from Ethiopia, so let's go to war with Ethiopia.
Hence the conflict with Ethiopia is meant to divert the attention from the management of Cairo, and I mention in your reporting that the United States, the new administration, is now drawn into this diversion. You quote Secretary of State Antony Blinken, remarking that unless Ethiopia changes course in its contest to calm the revolt in the Tigray Popular Liberation Front, unless that happens, there will be military intervention. And I presume that military intervention, will that look like U.S. troops? Will that look like European troops? What will it look like?
Well, typically, Secretary of State Blinken is attempting, if you like, to channel or mirror the Clinton administration's approach to the intervention, so-called multinational intervention, UN-supported intervention, in the former Yugoslavia, which was meant to break up not only Yugoslavia, but also to break up Serbia itself. And what's not surprising is that Secretary Blinken and his associates are once again trying to resurrect the U.S. intervention policy in the Balkans for that same reason, to continue the war against Serbia. This is an ideological war. It's nothing to do with U.S. needs or the realities of the situation. But what we're seeing is that Secretary Blinken is really also resurrecting the Obama administration's R2P strategy, the right to protect. In other words, the U.S. decides when some other country is behaving in a way which the U.S. finds inimical to its moral values, and therefore it gives it the right to intervene, the right to protect the people that the U.S. decides to
Gregory,
support.
I raised the hand from the back of the room. That failed badly in Libya, or is the opinion of the Biden administration it didn't fail in Libya, that it was in some way badly executed? If they do right to protect in this region, we're looking at the whole area being destabilized if they enter into Ethiopia. I mean, this is an amateur reading on my part, but that would be flabbergasting to the American public.
Well, it's an amateur reading from the administration's point of view, the Biden administration's point of view. It would not work. Ethiopia is a much broader canvas than the Balkans, and the people there are used to fighting guerrilla wars. What it will do is it will galvanize the desire of Ethiopia and Eritrea to rejoin in federation or confederation to create the greater Ethiopia. It will give Ethiopia once again a solid coastline on the Red Sea, which it will use to assert dominance over Red Sea and therefore Suez Canal shipping. So, Secretary Blinken better think a little more broadly about this. And he ought to think about the reality that the TPLF, which the U.S. supported when it was a minority.
Tigray Popular Liberation Front, TPLF. Yeah. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, when it was in power in Ethiopia, it represented a small minority of the Tigrayan population, and the Tigrayan population represents only 6% of the Ethiopian population, but they controlled Ethiopia, and the U.S. successive governments after 1990 started giving them large amounts of money. They financed and armed and trained the TPLF's private militia, which was about 30,000 personnel, gave them special forces training and the like, and weapons and loads of money. The TPLF, when it was finally forced out of office, literally because it collapsed. But they had taken about $30 billion in cash. and a lot of it from the US. All of the TPLF leaders who were Marxists, by their own admission, were given US passports. So you get this irony where the US is supporting literally a terrorist organization with lots of money, and that's now, by the way, running information operations in the United States, briefing the U.S. media, briefing the U.S. government, and the TPLF is now supported by the Egyptian government. And not only that, other terrorist groups within Ethiopia, who are groups also, by the way, committed to genocidal attacks on people who don't agree with them, particularly the Amhara people, they're being actually paid for and armed by the Egyptian government, because the Egyptian government has historically, because of its own romanticism, if you like, of this issue, always felt that it should control the source of the Blue Nile. So you had wars going back into the 1800s in which Egypt has sent armies to invade and conquer Ethiopia, and going back as far as the great wars of which they had with Emperor Johannes, Johannes the Fourth, and in which the Egyptians were profoundly defeated in that. But the Egyptians keep going back to this. It's their bête noire.
I'm speaking with Gregory Copley. We're looking at the Red Med Wars between the Red Sea and the Mediterranean, the Horn of Africa. Egypt is the driver, and when we come back, what about the European powers? What about the United States and other powers in the Middle East? Are they choosing sides? The ambition here is to break up Ethiopia because, says Egypt, it's a threat to the Nile. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.